Good morning, everybody. What a privilege to belong to the family of God and to be part of this beautiful family. You'll find that out when you're alone in another country somewhere with no friends, no family, and only Skype. I thought I got rid of my mother-in-law, and then somebody invented Skype. And my problem with my computer, it has a camera, so now she can even watch the way I do dishes. God is good. That's all I can say. God is good. Missions has changed so much in the world today, and I want to try and integrate that a bit into what I share with you this morning. It doesn't look like it used to. The olden days when people got on ships and traveled for a month or two before they arrived at their destination. In those days, what they did was they even wrote out their will before they went on to the mission field in case they might never return. It's changed. Now, as soon as I arrive in Australia, I just text everybody to tell them, hey, I've arrived, everything's great. And an hour later, I've got the internet hooked up and I can Skype my family and say, hi, we're here. It's changed. But God hasn't changed. He still works. He still works through His Word, changing lives and hearts, and He does that. About our family, well, as a family, we want to thank you so much for your prayers and your encouragement over this past year. You don't know what it's like to wake up in the morning and to receive an email from somebody at Central just saying, hi, how you doing? We're praying for you. It's wonderful. It's lovely to open your post and receive a little letter from Central with the Central magazine, and you can go through all the photos, and it brings back all those memories, and it's just wonderful to receive all of that. We've had a really tough year, as you know. We arrived in Australia and had two car accidents, not because of our bad driving, just because accidents happen. And so that cost us a lot of money. And imagine not having a car as well. That was a challenge. Then we had problems with our kids' health. And we had a problem with Matea. And we appreciate your prayers like we've never felt before. We spent Christmas and New Year in the hospital. And the doctor was speaking to us, and the doctor said, listen, you need to decide what you've got to do, but he has to be operated on, and it's got to be done soon. And so we tried to speak to the airline company, and they wouldn't change our tickets. They just wouldn't budge on our tickets. They said, no ways, you cannot change your tickets. And so we were stuck. We didn't know what to do. And so the doctor said, we need the operation. We really need to have it. The doctor said, there's another way we can do this. Let's go to the newspapers. And I said to the doctor, doctor, I can't do that. I said, I've done my part. Now God must do His part. 2 hours later, I got a phone call from a church. They only have 30 people in. And they said, Ray, we as a church prayed this morning and we want to tell you that we'll pray. We will pay for the operation. $10,000. They'll pay for the operation. A little church, only 30 people. Just like that. The doctor came in later. He said, Ray, we have to do it immediately. We have to operate. I said to the doctor, doctor, a little church down the road provided the funds. The doctor started crying. The doctor said to me, Ray, I won't give you a bill. Just like that. God is good, church. Doesn't matter where you are in the world. You belong to the family of God. It's wonderful. The church in Australia is wonderful. It's great. It's good to see that people love the Lord in Australia, and the church is alive. One of the greatest things about the church in Australia is their children's work. You can't believe how focused they are on children. They look after children like you would never believe. Nearly every church has a children's pastor. And they look, just before we we left, we received a handwritten letter from Samantha's Sunday school teacher saying, Samantha, we look forward to you coming back. We've been praying for you, and we're going to be having a great year this year as you learn about the Lord. It was wonderful. In Australia, labor is not cheap. So when it comes to the church, it's not necessarily people that are employed to do the work. So you have a lot of volunteers. You have a lot of people in the church coming to help and vacuuming and things like that. And it comes in the Sunday school and things like that. You have a lot of volunteers in the church. And it's wonderful to see people really just giving of all of their time and energy. You arrive at the church and there's some guy doing the garden. And he's a volunteer. He's just mowing the lawn. It's wonderful to see. One of Sam's Sunday school teachers was a man who was 70 years old. And Lauren and I said was probably the best Sunday school teacher that Sam ever had. And whenever Sam walked into the classroom, she would just go sit on this guy's lap and he would just tell stories. And he would just tell them about the Bible. It was wonderful to see. Wonderful to see something like that happened. The other thing that was quite interesting for us was that status is, there's not such a big thing in terms of status, upper class and lower class. So in the one church I was at, the guy who was playing the bass drum was a CEO of one of the big companies. And the guy who was bossing him around was the baggage handler at the airport. So it was lovely to see this dynamics taking place where the CEO was going, okay, yes. And the baggage handler was saying, okay, not too high there. You're too loud in that section. It was nice to see that taking place. I'm glad that God gave us the opportunity to go because I learned some wonderful lessons. As a director of an organization, one of my primary tasks is looking after missionaries. And even though some people, when you're working in a headquarters, don't see you as a missionary, you still are a missionary. But as we noticed, we came to work out some things. One of the trainers from OMS International sent me a book on intercultural ministry, how to relate to another culture. And I put the book next to my bed and I said, I don't need that. Did I learn some hard lessons? We might speak the language, but we can operate on different grounds. I don't have the time to tell you all this morning about different cultural things, but the way they treat people and the way you handle each other. My first day at the office, I'm the director, and the guy says to me, listen, on Tuesday you need to do the vacuuming. Oh, okay. You're walking down and you're going to go, you have to make your own coffee, nobody to make coffee and tea for you, even though you're the director, you've got to make your own coffee and tea, and I'm on my way to make coffee and tea, and a shout comes from the office, hey, you don't make coffee without making coffee for me too. So I had to learn some cultural differences. Lauren and I were invited for tea, so I said to Lauren, let's just feed the kids. I don't want them pigging out and embarrassing us, so let's feed the kids and let's ourselves have good food so that when we arrive there, you know, we don't just go to party. We arrive there and find out that tea is a three-course meal. They sit down and give us soup, and then there's a main course and pudding, and after that it's tea and cake. Lauren and I went home not feeling too well. The only blessing that came out of that was I rocked myself to sleep on my stomach. Culturally, a whole world of difference. The way we speak, the way we react, even in the same language. Yes, it's true. In Australia, everybody calls you mate. Even if you're a girl, you're a mate. And it's something to get used to. I was speaking at a church and I had to tell them what passage I was reading from three times because they didn't understand my accent. I went to a shop and they wouldn't serve me coffee because they realized I was South African. They said, you can't come here if your cricket team beats ours. One of the other things I learned is that I actually had the understanding that Australians were very arrogant. I don't know. I just had that understanding in my heart. And my dear wife said, Ray, I will go anywhere except Australia. They're arrogant. I found out very differently when I arrived there. I actually found them not to be too arrogant. Confident, yes, but not arrogant. And I found people that really loved the Lord and were kind. We visited a church one day, and we were looking for a church, visited the church, and it was a nice church, and we liked it. And on Tuesday, there was a knock at our door. And there was a family standing, and they had a candle. And the candle was burning. And we said, can we help you? And they said, well, we were looking at the details that you filled in on the visitor slip, and we see it's your boy's birthday this week. And so we bought a present for him. Isn't that wonderful? A little church, only went to once, and they brought us a birthday present just to tell us how they love us. Thank you so much for your prayers. We really, really have known the presence of God. Really have known the presence of God in such an incredible, incredible way. But I could talk here the whole day. We're having a meeting next week. Les, when are we having our meeting? On the 27th. Saturday night, the 27th, we're having a meeting. I'm going to be telling you all about what's taking place and showing you some photos. And if you'd like to come, just give your name to Les. We'd love you to have you there. And I'll tell you some more interesting stories that we've come across. But I want to share with you God's word and also continue sharing a little bit about what's happened with us. And won't you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to read from verse 13. But let's pray together. Father God, thank you for Central. Thank you for the many lives that they're touching, not only in Pretoria, but all over the world through their support of missions, through their support of missionaries. And Lord, we come before you today and we ask you to speak to us through the power of your word. Thank you for this beautiful gospel. Thank you for the good news. Oh Lord, we come before you recognizing that you are Lord of the word and the word of the Lord. And so use me, Lord, not because I'm great, but because you're a great God. Open our ears and eyes and hearts to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Romans chapter 10 and verses 13 to 16. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As is it written, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Just up to there this morning. It becomes quite a challenge to preach one-off sermons if you're a preacher, because you want to try and understand your congregation and understand, well, what can we say, you know? And so choosing a sermon, a one-off sermon, can become very difficult. It's easier to preach through a series because you know what you're doing and saying. But I really wanted to speak about us, about missions, and about a challenge we have in the mission field today to reach the lost. And so I wanted to share this word with you this morning. And I want to start off by talking about the four great needs of a mission field. Now, there's a lot of needs, but I want to talk about the four basic needs that came out in this passage as we read it together today. Some of the four greatest needs. Some missionaries might need to gain a language, a skill, might need to do something. We've got some missionaries are learning English at the moment so that they can go to some of these countries and teach English. We've got some accountants that we're using. We've got some doctors. But there are some other things that I believe that are more important that I want to share with you this morning. The first one I want to start off and share with you is that our mission field needs a savior. Let me explain that. I was at a church in Melbourne the other day, and I spoke at this church. And at the church, it was a big church. They invited four or five mission, so-called mission organizations to come and speak. They had the Gideons, you know, the Gideons, they hand out Bibles. They had another group, and they had us. And we all had to come up and do a five-minute introduction of our organization and what we do. The one organization, I'm not going to tell you their name because I love them, but I just an illustration, was an organization that played a DVD of some child crying and hungry and poor, and this organization was looking for money to feed them. And then we got up and spoke about what we do, and if you don't know what OMS International does, really our goal and our mission is to plant churches. That's what we love to do. We love to plant churches. The way we do that is by training pastors. We've got Bible colleges. We've got seminaries. We've got little training centers in villages. We love to plant churches. That's what we like to do. And the way we do that is through training pastors. So we'll train a pastor. We'll send him to an area. And he starts a church. That's what we love to do as a mission organization. That is our focus. And we want people to help us to do that. So, I stood at this church and did my introduction. At the end of the service, we all stood at the back with our displays and our pamphlets and everything. The organization next to me that collects money to feed poor people had a queue there of 20 or 30 people who will pay $40 or $50 a month to help feed the poor. Now, church, why am I telling you that this morning? You see, because there are people out there that believe that in feeding the poor, you save the souls of man. By feeding the poor, you save the souls of man. And some people have targeted and called it the social gospel. And so the intention is, what you do is you go out and you feed people, and perhaps these people will come to know Christ and give their lives to the Lord. So when I was in Angola recently, I met an organization and I said, what do you do? And they said, all we do is feed poor kids. I said, do you tell them about Jesus? They said, no, we don't tell them about Jesus. We might tell them by in passing by or whatever. But really what we're interested in is feeding the poor. We're interested in feeding the poor. And many of them quote from that passage of John chapter 6, you know, where Jesus feeds the multitudes. And in that passage, I believe that Jesus is just meeting a simple need. But they forget to read the rest of the story, and the rest of the story goes on to tell us that the day after this took place, Jesus goes to the other side of the sea. And then we find out, and the scripture doesn't tell us, but it tells us that a part of that group goes over. It doesn't tell us whether it was their whole group. It just says that they went over, they got in their boats, they traveled to the other side. And the scripture says they went over to the other side seeking Jesus. And so the proponents of this kind of social gospel say, yes, you see what happened? We fed them first. And because of that, they were seeking Jesus. And then they went over to the other side. That's what they say. Jesus goes on to address this. He says to them, he says, you seek me not because of what I taught you, but because I fed you and you were filled. And they say to Jesus, well, what shall we do? And Christ responds, he says, believe on him who the Father has sent. And then Christ goes on in the next couple of verses and chapters to speak about this, about the bread of life, saying whoever eats this bread will never hunger again. And interestingly, in chapter 66 of that chapter, verse 6, he says that after they found out they weren't going to be fed, they got in their boats and went back home. In missionary terms, we call this rice Christians. People accept the gospel not because of the gospel itself, but because their stomachs can be fed. And so in Australia, there's a massive drive to kill poverty around the world. And you won't believe how much money is collected for poverty and education, the training of kids. And it's done amongst churches. And friends, I want to tell you this. It's not that I don't care about the poor or I care about education, but I can tell you this. I have seen villages turned around when Christ comes to the village. I have seen people's hearts changed. We don't even have to tell them about education. We don't have to tell them about feeding the kids. They do it naturally. Because once you get a new heart, you change. You change. I was at a church. In this church was a guy who was a goth. Now, if you don't know what a goth is, I don't know how to explain it. They like to dress in black. He dressed in black. His hair was all over the place. He wore mascara, had pointy-toed shoes. Never play soccer with him. He walked into the church. I remember one morning he even walked in with slip-slops, a pair of shorts and a vest. And when he got outside, he had his smoke break in front of all the church members. I could remember seeing the deacons' faces as he lit up his smoke. They were cringing. I thought there was going to be a meeting after the church to talk about it. No smoking, just outside. Rather go across the street. But I also remember him coming to know the Lord. Walked up to the front, gave his heart to the Lord, and the next day, cut his hair. Who told him to cut his hair? Started dressing differently. Who told him to dress differently? Something happened in his heart, friends. And we got to remember that. The mission field needs a savior. Needs a savior. Yes, we need orphanages. We have orphanages in OMS. We have schools. We've got over 40 schools where we're training people. But at the end of the day, the mission field needs Jesus Christ. It needs Jesus Christ. And how do people come to know Jesus Christ? Through the preached word of God. Through the Bible. And Romans tells us that. Social programs are not the basic need of any sinner. Most social programs end in spiritual starvation, not salvation. Church, we have to take this bread of life to the mission field and share with people who are starving that need Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean we need to neglect the poor, but our priority must be the salvation of souls. The second greatest thing that the mission field needs are serious servants of Christ. Look at verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? They need some servants who will take them the word of God. Now, why do I say that? Because there's a presumption that all missionaries are true servants of the Lord. Now, I've been long enough in the mission field to know that this is not true. There are some missionaries who are doing this for their own gain and not for the gain of Christ's kingdom. I can tell you that, honestly. We need true servants of God, people who are serious about sharing the word. Serious about sharing the word. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 2. You will see Paul speaks about the same problem. Philippians chapter 2, verses 20. And yeah, Paul is writing to the church in Philippi because he's going to send somebody to them. And he writes in verse 20 and he says, I have no one else like him, speaking of Timothy, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests. Church, the mission field needs people who are not looking out for their own interests, but in the interests of Christ's kingdom. In the interests of people coming to know Christ in a real way. We're working in the island of the Comores. Now, if any of you know about the islands of Comores, if you look to the right of Mozambique, you will see a couple of islands there. There's four islands there. We're working in those islands. 99% Muslim. We haven't got one church yet. Built church. We've got people that meet in groups of five and six. They meet in rooms. They close the door, close the curtains, and they have a little church service together. So we can call that a church, yes. They meet there. An organization from South Africa went over there with loads of money and started hiring people to talk about Jesus. You won't believe some of the people that applied for the positions. Muslims. Muslims. Wanting to tell people about Jesus. And they did. Why? Well, they got given a monthly amount every month. And a motorbike. So yes. Yeah, we have Muslims going around the island telling people about Jesus and handing out free Bibles. Can you believe it? We need people who are serious about God. Matthew chapter 9 says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The mission fields need servants that are prepared to sacrifice the temporal for eternal gain. You want to come with me to some mission fields? And I'll show you some of the richest missionaries on earth. They have everything. Everything their hearts can desire. Yes, you might give up a lot going to the mission field. But rather, I would like to think of it as exchanging it for something better. Exchanging it for something glorious. Yes, Lauren and I have never been so lonely in all our lives. Never have we felt loneliness like that before. Nobody to visit on the weekend. Nobody to phone because all the South Africans are fast asleep. But church, we have never ever felt so supported in all our lives. Never have we ever felt so supported in all our lives. Lauren and I have never been poorer in all our lives. A cup of coffee costs 28 Rand. 28 Rand. Lauren wanted to have a scan to see what kind of baby we were having. They wanted to charge us $500, times that by seven. Serious rands. We have never felt so poorer in our lives. We got the bill from the hospital, over 100,000 Rand. All paid for. Never have we felt richer in all our lives. We've never had so many problems. Yet, and we've had so many solutions, so many gifts, so many blessings. Christmas was a strange time in Australia. But twice we had a knock on the door. A church had arrived at our door with a big basket saying, we know you've got no family and friends, but we want to tell you we love you. He has a basket full of goodies. Full of goodies for the kids, for us. Never have we felt so loved. Yes, you might lose a lot, but you will gain so much. The mission field needs serious servants. The other thing the mission field needs, verse 15. Let me read it for you. And how can they preach unless they are sent. The church needs to send out more missionaries. The mission field is desperate. Past 2 weeks, I've been taking a couple of Australians round. Took them to some of our ministries in South Africa. We're doing some church planting in South Africa, yeah. We're doing some church planting in Mozambique. We've just built a seminary there. We've got a school there as well. We need some teachers. We need some English teachers there. We've started a program helping people, showing them how to do business. It's doing excellent. People who are living in poor villages are able to now look after themselves and become sustainable. We're needing somebody to run that for us. It's just around the corner. Not too far. We need people who would be prepared to go. We need the church to send out more into this harvest. We need people who are, send out means not only just sending them saying, hey, just taking up collection and say, okay, let's go. But preparing them to go. Preparing them. Training them so they can go into the mission field. Commissioning them. Supporting them. Emotionally. You don't know this, but Les sends me messages, emails all the time. Hey Ray, how are you doing? Wonderful. Gisela sends me these letters in the post just to tell us that they're praying for us all the time. Wonderful. That's what it means to be supported. Prayed for. We have a missionary on the field at the moment. And this missionary field they have their own private prayer team. And this prayer group meets together every Tuesday morning to pray for this specific missionary. How wonderful is that? Supported, prayed for, looked after. If Lauren and I can ask you anything today, I'm going to be standing at the back later on to say hello to everybody. And I know this church is big and I probably won't be able to do it to everybody. But I've made some fridge magnets. Just this big, it's a photo of Lauren and I hugging a koala. And I always thought koalas were nice, but I found out they have long claws. So if you look at the photo and you see my face not smiling, it's because I had these claws in my back as they were taking the photo. I've got a fridge magnet at the back there. And if Lauren and I can ask you anything, is won't you take a fridge magnet and just pray for us? Pray that God would help us as we serve the Lord in Australia. Yeah, we need prayer. Prayer is unbelievable. The mission field needs people to be sent out and to be supported. The other thing I want to that comes out in this passage this morning, look at verse 16. It says this, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Church, there's another phenomenon that's taking place in our world of missions today. The mission field needs to stop Satan. What do I mean by that? Well, there are so many reports going over in the missions today about the fact that Christianity is spreading. So, what's the greatest Christian continent in the world today? Take a guess. Africa. What's the fastest growing Christian continent in the world today? Africa. People are saying that God is just moving over Africa, changing lives. And you want to travel with me? And I will show you serious apostasy like you've never seen in your life before. I will show you churches today that are filled with people. But they believe, yes, that you can combine Christianity with ancestral worship. I can take you a church tomorrow who says, listen, if you give your whole income to the Lord will bless you 10 times over. And I'll show you poor people who've given everything they have to the church in Africa. There might be a wave, but it's not a wave of people coming to know Christ. It's a wave of the false church. And we need to stop Satan in his tracks with true biblical preaching. With churches who are serious about God. With servants who are serious about taking the gospel to the Lord. servants that are not going over to these different countries just to run big concerts and campaigns and then gone the next week, but people who are prepared to stay and disciple people to maturity in Christ. That's what the mission field needs. We need to stop Satan in his tracks. I'm finished. But I want to ask you this morning. They say the average age that a European lives is to the age of 70. The average age that an African lives is, guess how much? 30. 30. I want to ask you another question. If you're going to live to the age of 70, what is 1 year on the mission field in 70 of your years? Would you give up 1 year for the Lord? We've got a guy who was one of the top directors of Microsoft. He's serving in Mozambique, him and his whole family. He's taken his whole family for a year, and they served the Lord in Mozambique for 1 year. Just 1 year. Changed his life and his whole family. 1 year of their life to missions. Is God calling you this morning? If God's not calling you to go, is God calling you to pray? Thank you for letting us share with you. Thank you so much for your prayers for us as a family. You won't believe how joyous it is to be here this morning with you and just to be sharing with you. I'll be standing at the back there. Come and fetch a fridge magnet. Charles, thank you for your phone calls on Skype. It's good to chat to you all the time. Thank you for the leadership, for allowing us to share with you this morning. Let me pray for you as a church. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, and I don't know, but somebody here this morning might be wanting to go to the mission field. Lord, you know how many people still haven't heard about Jesus. How many people still need to be discipled to maturity. We are so blessed as a country. We're blessed with so many churches, so many people, such good theology, such good ministers. Lord, thank you for this church and for what they mean to us as a family. And we pray that you'd make them a blessing to other families as well, the same way they've been to us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.